Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
One of the ways you become a very balanced student of the word, because you have to be a balanced student or you're a balanced teacher, is that you don't cherry pick scriptures. You get what I'm saying? You don't pick scriptures out of context. You pick scriptures in context. I want us to read this Psalms 68 in context. Psalms chapter number 68 in context. Amen. So, the way we are going to run this morning, let's see how God help us. So let God arise, Psalm 60 from verse 1. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melt before fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, and let them rejoice before God. Yeah, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto the Lord, sing unto God, sing praise to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Now, verse 5, we start seeing another dimension. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwells in dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, thy earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thy inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation had dwelt therein, O God, has prepared thy goodness for the poor. So start by describing the power of God to deliver. Then we have a bridge in verse 5, in verse 6, that now began to show us that there is a domain for this. The power of God is universal, but for specific assignment, it is local in families. And I'm going to talk to you from my heart, as always. If you go to the gym, now you can go to the gym for different packages, but if you go to the gym specifically to have a body type, or specifically in a line of sport, maybe boxing and the likes, you don't just do random exercise or physical activities. You have a dietitian. Alright? For what you desire, there's a specific food type that brings that. If you want to become just anything, then you can be just anywhere. But the moment the assignment of God in your life is streamlined, he himself looks at your future, then looks at different centers, and looks at the place where they are molding that type. and place it there. And that's why when I met my spiritual father, I met him for mentorship. In all honesty, I didn't feel he could father me. Because I've also been doing ministry for a while. So there was that subtle pride. So I have other names. But what I didn't realize was that, the dimension that is upon my life, for that dimension to come to maturity, there's a need for a man that will have that time. Not just the time, but also the thoroughness. So when God wants to do specific work, what he does is that first, he sets someone apart and then begins something new with the person. And what I'm saying is that God begins to do some things to the end that a man becomes a hiding place. Do you get what I'm saying? And when you say, it will come to pass in the last day, a man shall become a hiding place, alright, it will become also a rock from all these tempests and all that. Let me give you an instance. All through my life, I never saw marriage done well. I saw the negative part of it. I saw the pain. I was a victim. And I used the word was. I was a victim of how it should not be done. So it sowed seed of fears. It sowed seed of pain. It sowed seed of unnecessary struggle. I had struggles. So one of the things God addressed in families, in spiritual families, is the wrong foundation of our earthly families. That no matter how good you are, you can be a victim of what you didn't do. You understand what I'm saying? You've met certain things certain way. You didn't start it, you didn't cause it, but here you are. For instance, the way God ordained these things is that parents, like Anna, women like Sarah, like Elizabeth, will, on account of their intimacy with God, we can go to men also, will know the destiny of children before they were born. Such that when those children are born, their purpose has been pre-received, they are trained and led directly in the direction of that purpose. If things are done like this, there are many books that will not sell. How to discover your purpose. These are plan B's. Because it is not your purpose that you are to discover. It is his purpose for you. And he told Jeremiah, he said, before you are born, this is already a template. So when we begin to have parents who have received before the child is born, there are some struggles you won't go through. There are struggles I went through that my daughter won't go through. Because God spoke to me in 2012. I'm going to give you a girl first. And I wrote it in my journal. Sit down. And he said, this is going to be her name and all that. Then this is what she's going to. And I saw it. 9 years later, she came. I didn't have to go to the hospital for a scan. Because God said it's a girl. And I'm not stupid. And I told my wife, if this one doesn't happen like that, then doubt every other thing I've said. And when my wife was pregnant and she confirmed that it's gay, I don't need confirmation. And was it just before we gave birth, I had another vision and I saw another child saying, I'm coming to be just like you. So I said, okay. when this one comes, passing through everything you've gone through. Just like me. We wanted to go and give birth to our daughter in America. We said, let's take all this package, go and give birth to another. Hey, that's not the plan. Sit here. You are a Nigerian. What you carry is for this nation. So there are some struggles you don't have to go through because someone ahead has received it. But my own life too would have been dysfunctional, and our life consequentially, if God didn't set the solitary in families. Many of us are victims of things you didn't do. You just found yourself in the midst of thought process that you didn't start. And there has to be different work of repair, adjustment, and it's not your fault. But to be arrogant and refuse it is to refuse destiny. So first, you understand. The Bible says in Psalms 11 verse 3, that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, God correct it with spiritual families. That's what God does. Corrects it. God molds you through your spiritual family. He molds you. You see, the version of you that is receiving what God wants to do with your future can never be the version that will fulfill it. Let me give you an instance. When I met my wife, one of the reasons why I feel, I'm a very honest person, okay? I honestly feel that one of the reasons why it worked seamlessly was because I had evolved at that point to that version that can work it out. There was a version of me that would not have worked it out. In fact, if my wife had come to my life maybe a year or two earlier, it would never have worked. Never. This same woman never had worked. Why? That version needs correction, needs a lot of flushing, a lot of soak. You know, you soak something. You can be doing ministry and yet you still need to be repaired. Because you see, the anointing upon is for the people. But there's still the minister, the vessel that God needs to do a lot of. That's why you can have good ministry and bad marriage. You can have good ministry and bad health. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the issue is that, let me tell you this, see, sometimes you have heard that somebody should be your wife or your husband. If the version is not that version, don't manage it. If you put a skyscraper on a faulty foundation, it will collapse. Sometimes you've heard God, but that's not the version for the fulfillment. You don't believe it. It's the fact. Some of you are going through breakups and all that. Sometimes those people are not the problem. It's that it's still construction in progress. Those things you are seeing and say, you know, sometimes you just talk to a lady and say, well, this is something that's going on in our family and all that. The guy say, your family, you mean, this is going on, this is, it runs. But God is still building him. Then, is matured in the place of prayer, holding God's covenant, then meets somebody and finds out something worse than that thing, but he's staying. Because the version that, alright, fled before is that version that has not held God. But once you now found God, you know that, what I carry is powerful enough to correct what is there. If they've been dying young, forget, life flows here. One of the reasons why I couldn't settle earlier is because I funny gist. In fact, the day I received my deliverance and all that, it was a random conversation over phone. But my wife's voice sounds exactly like the voice of the woman that has brought me my greatest pain. So, the first day we spoke over the phone, counseled, yes. But that was the final phase of the construction. Before, if I had heard that kind of voice, never. But God shapes you and molds you into the kind of man that is now valuable and relevant for your future. Even you are the great, you are the greatest threat to the plan of God for your life, unless that you are molded. So your spiritual family is your potter's house. That's where God crafts you. That's where He molds you. And that's why in Spirit of Life Church, we see it's the core value and the core foundation of this ministry. We raise men. That's what we do here. Okay? We raise men. But listen, we don't just raise men, we also deploy men. Okay? And that means we look at people sincerely in the place of prayer. If we perceive as a ministry that God has a calling for them beyond our ministry, we release them. And raise them for that purpose, teach them, and allow them go and get it done. One of the things I found out is that this also has to be taught. This also has to be taught. So there can be proper understanding. Some of the unnecessary hiccups we've had in the body of Christ, they are because there is no proper understanding, no proper teaching. Somebody is scared, now with the grace upon my life and all that, if I say God is calling for people, they allow me to go and so, your spiritual family is God's system to localize His work in your life. So God wants to narrow down. And the way He does so is by setting you in families. You see, family is the, should I use the word smallest? But let's come to a biological word. We can say it's the smallest, but also functional and structural unit of the society. What cell is to the body is what families is to the society. And thank God there are health practitioners who are here. If cancer is going to start, it's going to start from cells. They fail to repair after one out and then they replicate like that. If the society is going to be crushed, the starting point is from families. I read the news yesterday of something that happened in Badon. They say a young guy was passing on the road. Another guy accosted him, broad daylight, either yesterday or Friday, but I read the news yesterday. I think it was yesterday I read. Accosted the guy, collected his phone, and shot him there. So you want to ask, how did we get to the point where somebody can come to a place, collect what doesn't belong to him, and still kill the person? Hey, families. If the devil wants to attack destinies, he attacks families. In fact, what the devil loves, he loves people who are wanderers, who are without identity. Many of us never knew what a home looked like until we got married. We had a house, not a home. And imagine the kind of assignment God is separating me from. For coming from a place where it was gotten right would have been a boost. So I had to go through long and with pain until a spiritual family came. But here is still the good news. All those journey and all that. There's a scripture for it. If the prince of this world had known, they would not have allowed you to go through this journey. Because this journey also gives you a body of anointing. But that's if you survive. Because many don't make it out alive. And see, there's a difference between being healed and being hardened. A wound can be healed, is internal, from inside out. You see, when a wound is getting healed, it's from inside out. But when the surface is hardened, time has passed. It's dry on the outside. You touch it, it doesn't really feel pain because it's dried. The cells, they are dead. But inside, there's still a wound. So many people have entered into marriage, hardened, not healed. So when there are matters, it pokes those internal issues. You see that? So we wonder and wonder and all that. If there is nothing called spiritual families, people like me won't survive. Because my purpose had to be rediscovered. Oh yes. When our ministry started, I was telling people that if we ever become a church, leave. So I didn't blame them when they left. Meanwhile, if I had been helped, do you know the funny thing? When I got to my spiritual father's church, one of the ways I knew that, I'm not coming here for mentorship. It's deeper than this. Is that every time I sit under his message, personal word for me, rushing out. That's one of the ways you know you and your family. Your word is not scarce because the atmosphere is customized for you. Your word, are you following? Your word is there. All the things God has been waiting for you to say, just when you get to Bethel, he starts speaking. And all of a sudden there's light. You are seeing yourself. This is it and all that. There were many things I'd given up on out of discouragement. I started finding them again. Do you know why the devil ate families? Let me show you. First Peter chapter number 5. Let's start from verse 5. First Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility and all that. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth great grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I've taught you this again and again. Lions are powerful and all that. But lions have a weakness. Lions have a weakness. Is that okay? Lions have a weakness. They can't run for long. They are quite fast. But they are long. An average lion can, at a mature size, sometimes can be as long as, sometimes almost 6 feet. That's about the size of the dog, maybe a bit. They can be that long. And they're always very heavy. So lions, they can't really run fast. So their method for killing their prey is such that allows them to get done what they want to do on time. If we are dealing with spiritual warfare, that's also another knowledge. But we are not going to that direction. So what lions, what they do, is that they set traps. That's why they work as a group. It's called pride of lions. Okay? It's the females that really, they are the ones that do the hunting. The females. The males eat first. Okay? Though the females do the hunting and all that. That's another lesson for another day. When we get there, I'm going to teach you. But when there's a need for an animal that is big, the males show up. They don't respond to small things. If there's any attack on their pride, they are the last that will leave. They are not easily moved, but they eat first. Okay? But in the pride, there are injured ones, they are in different states. So the one that shows up to the prey that they want to kill is the wounded one. So the devil is also like that. It's like a wounded lion. It shows up. When animals are moving in pack, they can't attack. They wait because they know that the injured, the pregnant, and all that will be behind. So they wait. And then, the least of them, in terms of strength, will show up, and then, with the intention to scare that animal into where an ambush is waiting. Such that as the animal now run, the animal will run into ambush. That's why the first strategy of the devil is fear. The moment he can get you afraid and get into anxiety, you are going to enter into his trap. Listen, that's why even when I correct people in a very strong way, I don't allow them give in to fear. Because if you can be afraid, you are going to be manipulated. Anyone that can make you afraid can manipulate you. Never speak under fear or under tense atmosphere. The righteous will be as bold as a lion. In fact, one of the signs that you are full of the Spirit is boldness. So the lion goes after that and all that. But you see, first they need isolation to attack. And God knows that as long as there is no isolation, we're not going to have casualties. And guess what? The temptation for isolation is always high. And the devil likes it. Because once he can get you isolated, but hope you know that isolation is not about physical, lack of physical gathering. The disciples were 12. They've been together for 3.5 years. Judas has been alone for a while. As pastoring people, I notice that isolation begins where visions are of private interpretation. Amen? That's the beginning point. Oh, there's something God is saying in my heart. But I can't trust them here. I don't know if I'll be understood, if I'll be perceived rightly. The moment, because there are certain mistakes that people will make. Let me share this with you. Not too long after our ministry started, I heard a voice clearly in the place of prayer that I should go to Ghana. I think I've shared this before. I was praying. I wish you know. That you can do 21 days dry fast and retreat. And yet you have to come and submit what you have received to someone who didn't follow you there. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, I don't lie. Whatever you celebrate in my life today is because I've been helped. If you know the number of things I've heard wrongly. And still, by the grace of God, I'm not a careless person. All by myself, I'm a cave person. I'm not the kind of person you find on media. All by myself, never. After spending time It's time to do this. It is the place where I receive deliverance is where I now go to submit it. Even the best of us is receiving help, sir. That's why before you mentioned that the devil, he first talked about the issue of pride. Pride is what, once the devil wants to finish you, he begins to tell you that there's something you carry, nobody in your spiritual family carries. Say, what I'm doing, you're like, you are, see, I've not been able to do it for 300 years on the face of the earth. It is when you submit, you now find out that, listen, see, it's in cycles. Your types have existed before, and many of them failed. And this was the same spirit that made them fail. So you are just at that junction. You don't know. If you see where great men has fallen, don't laugh. What made them fall is here around. It might just take that level of maturity and you're also down. Hey, look at all these pastors. Look at all these. Hey, oh boy, be humble. You came from a place where your parent marriage didn't work. You feel now, because you speak in the Holy Ghost, you read marriage books, you are out of it. No. When you pass stage one, the devil will route to stage two and wait for you there. So how do you do that? First, sit down. Many of you have not learned to read your family history. What went wrong here? First, you also discover in the first 10 years of their marriage, it was sweet. And you are in your first 3 years. So you have not even reached their mark. So you, as you begin to check, you find out, hey, these guys got it right the first 10 years. What changed? At what point did it change? I know what I'm saying. You check. At what point did the devil enter? What door did they keep open? Let me say this. I want to say a statement that is, from where I stand, one of my greatest fears. Look up. One of the ways to finish well is to compare. I'm going to show you what we're going to compare. First, look up. Let me help you. Look at me. First, you must understand the generation you belong to. You have to be able to answer it well. What generation do I belong to? Then question two, who am I in that generation? You've got to be able to read your generation like a map. The reason is because there's something God is doing generally with that generation. And another reason why you have to know this is that if people will drop, there will be common factors that will drop men. This generation, I feel top of the army or in front of the soldiers of demons and the devil is attempting to fight this generation is immorality. It's never been in display more than it is now. Access to it and all that. So it brings that first. So you pass stage one. Just like when the armies of Gideon were going to war. Then there's going to be phase two. These are men. He said, when David went to the priest and desired to eat shoe bread, he said, yes, there is hallowed bread if the men have at least kept themselves from women. So there's that bread you're entitled to. But after that, still there's still another trap. Then another percentage of men are dropped. And listen to this. At each level where men can drop, there's another economy within that level where they can have exploit in their own definition. But that's not the real plan. Listen to this. Depending on what you were deprived of when you were growing up, that's what will help make you quickly determine fulfillment. But you must know exactly where God is going and choose to be nothing less. If where you are coming from, money was what was scarce, the moment you have it, you want to define destiny as that. But that's not it. You try to define destiny in light of possessing what was scarce. And you check. So when you have passed through all the hurdles for that generation, it doesn't stop there. Then you now know who you are in that generation. Then you must be able to now check your type in scriptures and in previous generations. Because if it is the same anointing to be the same old devil. Okay. You know, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, I've not just sent you to raise end time armies, but I'm also raising you to be a prophetic voice to voices. You know what that means? It means when there are many voices and all that, soldiers, everybody's fighting. Apart from the fact that you are also in that team, your brothers, I'm going to raise you as a prophetic voice for them. So you're going to be a preacher of preachers, a teacher of teachers. So when that instruction comes, at this level, I don't just say, oh, glory! Thank you, Lord. Who in the Bible did this kind of anointing rest upon? What fought them? Let me tell you this. If you see real battle, soldiers are fighting. It's not about killing random soldiers. No. Three things are supposed to be the first focus of attack. Number one is where the most offensive artillery is being used. Oh, we are fighting these guys. But where is that side, that corner, where the strongest artillery, the submachine guns or the machine guns are being used? You bombard that part first. Number two, cut off their supply lines. Number three, locate the medics. That if we shoot some, maybe gun didn't really kill someone, but there's somebody there who is also wearing military uniform, who is a soldier, and also a doctor that can help them get better, they can survive the injury, kill those ones, they will die. So I notice I'm not just a fighting soldier, but I'm also carrying what will help other soldiers. Point of attack. Let me tell you this. Let me say this. There are things I'm careful of because I know my role and I know what destroys my type. And I'm not going to walk in arrogance that I'm invincible. I have watched, I've read the body of Christ, and I've seen that when you know how to hide under the shadows of the Almighty, your most vulnerable moments are your moment of celebrations. Oh, the man that God is using. I honestly can't read all those messages and be fine. Because they give you a sense of arrival. And once you have a sense of arrival, you start putting off your armor. We are getting it right. Having done all, stand. In the midst of all those things, listen to this. I have seen it in the body of Christ. In the midst of, you are giving 5,000 naira, want to buy some copper. I hear someone who honestly has not eaten. and the church has never contributed anything for. Is it wrong to celebrate your leader? No. But because there are vulnerable ones amongst us, that where they are sitting is still close to where they can hear the voice of the enemy. You are the one who say, oh, we want to present this and all that. Ah, that's not what I see. I'm just looking around and I say, oh God, I honestly don't know who is dying now as a result of this. I honestly, I dread it. We are not all at the same level. Oh, mature people, I have no problem with that. But because there are also babies amongst us. And that should we now say because of those babies we should not honor those we should honor? Absolutely not. We should. But we speak wisdom among them that are mature. Let me tell you this. Ask the pastors. When we have a need in church, I say reach out to people. But so and so and so, don't reach out. 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 Why? I am their father. And I know at what point that the devil can begin to speak. And I know those that even if it is the last, we say, and they don't have, they will say, I know Papa understand my heart too. But one of the hallmark of maturity is that you trust your father. So you see the reason why I can count for you many people who had fallen around moment of celebration. My wife is here. I tell her again and again, we don't get carried away. We have been called to serve. So I had to build personal structures. Number one, the church cannot give to me more than I give to the church. Personal structure. Number two, people can't give to me more than I give to them. Because once you sit at the seat of receiver, you become entitled. See, entitlement. Entitlement for a leader is the gate of hell. That moment you sit and say, I am expecting that these individuals will do this. You are not the one that will lead them to promised land. Ah, yes. That I can be very sure of. Because you will fight them even when you should serve them. You see the reason why this microphone we hold and all these things we do is a very, I really wish people understand the weight of these things. And let me tell you this, around any season where I'm celebrating birthday, I become more tough. Because listen to this one, when people say I celebrate this man, I want to hope that you are not celebrating because I've cooperated with the devil by keeping quiet over your life. Can you still do it if I rebuke you in a very strong way that you doubt as God sent this man to lead me indeed? I say, yes. So let's check this person out. And I beg the leaders, be sure people are not honoring you because of your passivity. Be sure. I have sons and daughters and I have rankings for them. You must have been able to carry my weight once or twice. And you know it is heavy. It's as, you know when somebody loves you deeply and you know he loves you, the day he brings that out, you will feel it more because it's not just your body, but your mind too is subject. Ah, yes. Oh, yes. And the mouth that pray for you, when that mouth tells you you are foolish, you feel it. You feel it. Because I don't grade myself easily like that. Having done all these things, ask in church, oh, Papa, we brought you this. I say, man of God, just keep these things, please. Just show them. Just show them. You see? So that one day will not come. An elderly minister came to hold a pastor's meeting, and they asked him that, what do you think is the most lethal weapon against ministers that has destroyed many ministers across generations? He looked and looked and looked and said, free food. Oh yes. Another time I'm going to break it down, because he didn't explain to, but I had to go and ask God. It was not normal that it was something they had that caused the fall in the garden. And food was the first temptation of Jesus. If you see what has been killing people across generations, build a fast around it. See, you tell yourself till your appetite for it dies. You don't know. I struggled with fasting for a long time. So I had to go through a situation of hunger. Now, where there's no food, you have to fast. He said he caused you to hunger and he fed you and your fathers with manners that you don't know anything about. That it may make you know that man does not live by bread alone. It got to a point where I think I was, okay, I don't know who I was telling. I said, anytime I'm full, I feel guilty. I eat, I'm a balanced person, is that okay? And I exercise. But let's leave it. You must starve from what has killed your types. And one of the ways God will help you ensure that is by putting you in a family where you will be regulated. Oh yes. Your appetite will be checked. And your life will be reconfigured. Are you following what I'm saying here? David was a good champion until the women sang his praise. Let's bow our heads. First, going to ask you to pray just one prayer point. Father, throughout my lifetime, never leave me to myself. Can you pray this prayer? It's a very serious prayer, because the same God that said Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Throughout my entire life, never leave me to myself. Thank you, Father. Father, I want to give you praise for your children here this morning. I ask my Father and my God that these words will resound in their hearts again and again. Amen. You will walk with the wisdom, amen, all the days of your life. Amen. And you are kept from destruction and from that which destroys your generation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.
Blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame.
To partner with Flame, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.